time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week was Scrutiny Week, where Parliament focuses entirely on holding government agencies and ministers to account to check in on how well the government is performing. Many of the questions around Scrutiny Week have been focused on climate change. Over the past week, there have been many reports highlighting the government's questionable decision-making in regards to climate change. The biggest headline was that the Coalition had chosen to reject all three of the Climate Change Commission's recommendations to strengthen New Zealand's emissions targets. Along with this, United Nations released a new report where they've warned that New Zealand is at serious risk of weakening Māori rights and entrenching disparities for the indigenous population. In the 14-page report, the UN expressed concerns over multiple government policies affecting Māori, including the disestablishment of the Māori Health Authority, cuts to public funding for Māori services, and minimising the role of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March about the report released by the United Nations, but first we discussed Scrutiny Week and the government's recent climate change decisions. To start off, what have been some of the key revelations that the Green Party are taking away from Scrutiny Week?
So from my end, particularly what I focused on is the fact that we know that the government has been declining people at quite as often when it comes to essential assistance that allows them to keep a home, to keep electricity on, for people who literally have no other option but to turn to either work and income or a private loan company that would give them a loan with high interest rates that then they won't be able to afford. And what that tells us is that more people are struggling to make ends meet, but that work and income is using their discretion to turn people away and prevent them from accessing the assistance they need in order to survive. We've also did some work to expose the fact that the government is choosing to use financial sanctions instead of non-financial sanctions to strip people of support, leaving 13,000 people without benefits in 3 months compared to only using non-financial sanctions 12 times in the period of 6 months since it's been in place.
How does the Green Party think the government has performed overall this year?
Quite poorly, because we see it on the streets and we see it on paper. Homelessness is on the rise. Our government is not on track to genuinely meet our climate commitments. We know as well that work and income is adopting the minister's toxic approach to treating beneficiaries and depriving them of the assistance they need. And this will have long-term harms in our communities. But what I do want to reiterate is that a different future is possible and within our reach. We do have the opportunity to change the government next election and make sure that these harmful policies do not continue any longer.
With some of the dialogue that we saw during Scrutiny Week, are you confident that the government will take a lot of this feedback on board?
Absolutely not. And this is why we must change the government and not simply rely on hoping that the ministers will listen to the facts and the evidence in front of them and to the voices of people on the streets. And this is why we are focused on holding the government to account in the halls of power, but also to start organizing for election year to mobilize and organize with thousands of people across the country to make this a one-term government.
All right, just quickly moving on to the climate aspect of Scrutiny Week. There have been many reports recently highlighting the government's questionable decision-making in regards to climate change. The Coalition revealed last week that they rejected all three of the Climate Change Commission's recommendations to strengthen New Zealand's emission targets. My next question is, what's the Green Party's response to this stance by the government?
Yeah, Chloe Swoboda's been working really hard to put pressure on Treasury and Nicola Willis to basically be truthful about the impacts of climate inaction. And recently she managed to basically get Treasury to acknowledge and to do some work to account for the harms that not taking action on climate will cause. And for example, this includes making people's lives more expensive. And what we've also been pushing on is the fact that the government has two choices. They either take climate action on short, so for example, by building interregional rail, creating more public transport, tackling our agriculture emissions, or they can end up paying billions and billions of dollars offshore to basically make up for the fact that we didn't take action domestically. Nicola Willis pretended that she wouldn't have to do the latter despite us having obligations to do so, and she finally basically got Treasury and the minister to admit that effectively these are options that are on the table, and they shouldn't be. We should be instead investing in things like rail and things that make people's life cheaper and better and also reduce emissions.
Officials have warned that lowering methane targets could increase New Zealand's contribution to global warming. How concerned are the Greens about that?
We're deeply concerned because this will make life more expensive for everyday people. We know that climate change will lead to more extreme weather events, that will lead to more flooding, that will lead to more people without jobs, without their homes. And we've seen that already when it comes to the Auckland floodings in 2023 and Cyclone Gabrielle. Many communities are still recovering from the impacts of those events, even after a couple of years now. And so we have to account for the fact that climate change is an abstract issue. It's here, and it's costing us fiscally, and it's costing our communities their livelihoods when we don't choose to act. And this is why we can take climate action, make people's lives cheaper, and also reduce the impact of extreme weather events that will become more frequent.
The government justified weaker methane targets by pointing to concerns from rural communities. Is this a valid argument, and how would the Greens solve that problem?
We've long called for the government to do more and invest more in supporting farmers to transition to more regenerative forms of practices that help lower our emissions, keep our waterways clean, and actually create higher value exports to support our farmers as well. And ultimately, these are political decisions. We can keep locking ourselves to intensive dairying, or we can actually diversify our economy and invest in other parts of the economy like manufacturing, which will make us less reliant on agricultural exports and tourism as the two key parts of our economy outside of the housing market.
Legal experts have said New Zealand could be found in breach of international law because of the government's climate backtracking. What do you think about that and what it means for Aotearoa and New Zealand's global reputation?
Embarrassing for our government, and I think most people would be surprised to know that we tend to market ourselves as a country that is, you know, has good stewardship when it comes to the environment, and yet every decision that the government has made would tell people otherwise. And we're all seeing the impact of a lack of care for our natural environment and climate action. We're seeing communities in the South Island losing access or being at risk of losing access to things like clean drinking water. And so when we talk about looking after the environment and taking climate action, again, these are not abstracts. It's literally about whether people have access to clean drinking water down the line. And so this is why we must act urgently to support people to transition to a world that is actually cheaper, more affordable, and more responsible when it comes to future generations to come.
What are some of the main climate change decisions that the Greens are looking to change from the government's policies?
Well, we know that transport emissions make up the highest profile of emissions in Aotearoa. And we would invest in interregional rail, more frequent and free public transport so that people can get to work, to school faster, and also that we can reduce emissions at the same time. And as I've said, the other decision that we will make is making sure that we actually have targets that reflect the commitments that we have to the world and to future generations. And so we will make sure that then we take action based on targets that are actually grounded in science as opposed to just politicking by the coalition.
All right, moving on to the final topic. In a new report, the United Nations has warned that New Zealand is at serious risk of weakening Māori rights and entrenching disparities for the indigenous population. In the 14-page report, the UN expressed concerns over multiple government policies affecting Māori, including the disestablishment of the Māori Health Authority, cuts to public funding for Māori services, and minimising the role of the Treaty of Waitangi. My next question is, what's the Green Party's response to this report by the United Nations?
Well, you kind of said it yourself, right? I mean, there's a list of government actions that have made those inequities greater, that have gutted services that help close the health gap between Māori and non-Māori. And what we're also seeing, for example, in areas that I do work on, when it comes to poverty and inequality, that the use of discretion by work and income ends up targeting Māori more than non-Māori. And this is why we're seeing, for example, more Māori having their benefits cut with the use of benefit sanctions. And we're also seeing that reflected in the statistics by the police when it comes to, for example, who's more likely to get charged for things like cannabis possession. And so what we have is a government that is actively undermining the rights of Māori and widening the gap between Māori and non-Māori through political decisions and use of discretion by our government agencies.
What kind of message does this report send to the world, and how does it affect New Zealand's reputation?
I think when people look at our country, often they imagine that we're a country that has decent race relations. That's a country that values our unique historical position and Indigenous rights, but the truth could not be further from that image that we use to brand ourselves to the world. We've got really serious issues that we need to confront, and we really risk harming our reputation as a country that could be leader in building a future grounded in kotahitanga, where we all work together to look after generations to come and address historical injustices that have led to Māori being dispossessed from the land that they should have kaitiaki rights over.
Minister for Māori Crown Relations Tama Potaka said he had not yet read the report. What do you think about that?
I don't think he needs to read the report to know that the actions that his government is taking have been harmful and broadening the gap between Māori and non-Māori. The report confirms what many people here in Aotearoa have been saying for a long time. And so he's just turning his back away from the facts and the truth, and he's complicit in being part of a government that keeps attacking Māori rights left, right and centre, and widening the gap when it comes to wealth inequality between Māori and non-Māori.
One of the main aspects of the report is that they've called on the government to strengthen te reo Māori. Do you agree with that? And if so, what would the Greens do in that regard?
The Greens, for many elections, in fact, since I first got involved in the Greens before the 2017 election, have long called for te reo Māori to be adequately resourced in schools and to be made part of the core curriculum. Because we all know the benefits of having te reo Māori in schools. It enriches access to the culture for Māori, and it also creates stronger ties between Māori and non-Māori alike. And we also know that having access to multiple languages enriches one's education, and there is no reason why we can't value and treasure one of our official languages that Māori should have access to throughout our public services.
If the government's reputation when it comes to Māori rights is damaged, what are the Green Party prepared to do to repair it?
Well, we've been really clear that we are going to repeal the Regulatory Standards Act. We're going to ensure that te reo Māori is adequately funded. And we're also going to ensure that we put in place our policy of hoki whenua mai so that we can start addressing historical injustices and return land to Māori so that Māori have access to their whenua. And we're also looking forward to working in partnership to develop ways in which Māori can actually build papakainga and other forms of infrastructure in the whenua that they deserve to have access to develop.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the Green Party's takeaways from Scrutiny Week, the government's decision-making regarding climate change, and the recent report released by the United Nations regarding Māori rights.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.